I trust you're glorying in that this morning, that you are his and he is yours. That's a truth that takes a little while to meditate on, to truly ask the Lord to work in your heart. But the fact that if you've received him here this morning, if you have received Christ by faith and allowed him to wash away your sins by faith, by asking him for his free gift of eternal life, then my friend, this morning you're forgiven. You are his, you are in him, and Christ is in you. And that's the simplicity of the gospel. This morning, turn with me to Colossians chapter 2 as we continue through the book of Colossians and looking at being rooted in Christ. The first couple weeks we've spent focusing on really what God tells us in verse 3 of Colossians chapter 2, the fact that in whom, that's Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything you need in Christ is found right there in Jesus Christ. All you need for life, for godly living, is found in Christ. And then last week, we looked very simply at these two key hinge verses of the book of Colossians, which I believe really declare to us the simplicity and the message of what Paul was trying to get across by the Holy Spirit to these believers, is now that you're saved, you know, Paul's saying, I've never even seen your faces. I've not met with you. But listen, this is the simplicity that's in Christ. The same way you received Christ, which is by faith, is the same way you need to now walk in him. And walking in him is by faith. It's allowing Jesus Christ, the one who rooted you, to now build you up in Christ and establish you in the faith. Let's just read verses 6 and 7 once again to remind ourselves of the context here. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And when you realize what you have in Christ, when you realize the simplicity as compared to what other religions will teach men, you can't help but be thankful for how simple Christ made it. You can't but be thankful for Christ's love, even as we just sang there in that last song. Look with me now at verse 8 as we look into now what Paul is teaching for the rest of this chapter is really now key identity truths in Jesus Christ. Now that you are saved, now that you know how to walk in him by faith, this is what is versus what the world tells you to believe. And the Colossians were starting to listen to, they had surrounding them several false preachers that were preaching in their day about several issues. Not necessarily issues that we would struggle with here in the church today, but that very much applicable because we have false preachers in our day as well. Let's look at verse 8 together and we'll read down through verse 10 as we'll take our text here this morning. The Bible tells us, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Because you are in Christ, and Christ is in you, you are, this is what is, you are complete in him. Let's pray. Father, would you help me as I preach this morning? Lord, I am dependent on you for the words to speak. And Lord, would you just bring to mind the things that need to be spoken? And would you help us this morning as believers in Christ to truly follow you and to come into contact really this morning with your word and allow it to change our lives? Lord, this morning we understand the world would have us believe several different things about who we are or what the world says we are or what the world says we're worth. But this morning we want to know from your word personally. Lord, we want to eat from you this morning. Eat from your word and be filled with the true identity of who we are because of who you say we are. So God, would you help us? Would you illumine this word to our hearts? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In Christ, You are complete. If you're saved, as I mentioned earlier this morning, if you're born again, you say, what does that mean? That means simply that there was a time in your life, a moment in your life where you realized that you were a sinner, that the penalty for your sin means that you're on your way to hell apart from God. You'd be separated from God forever in a place called hell and in the lake of fire, and that without Jesus Christ, you could do nothing. And you chose in that moment, you said, Lord, I know what you did for me on the cross. You had a perfect payment of your blood, and you rose again the third day for me. I trust in your finished work on the cross, and Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, would you give me the gift of eternal life? It had nothing to do with what you could do. It had nothing to do with what you could say. It had nothing to do with you going to church. It had nothing to do with any good works that you could conjure up to try and please God. And yet, Paul is saying in these words now, 2,000 years later, he's saying, hey, beware, there's some things coming into the church that even though now you're saved, you're in Christ, Christ is in you, now these preachers are preaching and saying, hey, there's something that you can do to please God. There's something that you can do that would somehow help your relationship with God. And he's saying, no, walking is just as simple as you got saved. Look at verse 8 with me, and we find here a deterrent against following anything other than Christ. A deterrent against following anything other than Christ. He says, beware lest any man spoil you. That word spoil means to take you captive or literally kidnap you. To beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. And this is exactly what Satan wants to do in each of our lives as believers. He knows he can't change your eternal destiny. Now that you're saved, you can't be taken out of Christ. So what is he going to do? He's going to kidnap you through other means to make you absolutely worthless in the service of the King. How does he do it? Philosophy and vain deceit. You say, what is that? Well, that's man's thinking, man's focus, man's perspective, which is totally empty. That's what the word vain means. It means empty, empty deceit, empty lies. That we would believe that we could do something that in and of our own self and in and of our own flesh that would please God. You have the tradition of men. And the tradition of men, it's not talking about, okay, these people are doing such and such, and so I need to be different so that I'm not following the tradition that these other churches are doing. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about anything from religion to the focus of what man can do for God. Anything that happens in religion, the focus of what we can do for God, referring to any teaching that would be added to salvation, any tradition. That's what was happening in the book of Galatians. The Galatians were saying, Paul was saying to the Galatians, you've believed another gospel. The fact that you're thinking that circumcision can save you, and actually Paul gets to that here later in this chapter. The fact that you're thinking that circumcision is part of what you need to be declared righteous before God, that's not it. The traditions of man, the religion of man, the deadness of man, and what they've done at destroying the simplicity of the gospel is not what we are to follow. There's nothing that man can do for God that would stand righteous in his sight. Isaiah tells us that they are what? Filthy rags before God. Filthy rags. Romans chapter 7, verses 18 through 20 says this, for I know that in me, this is Paul talking, and we think of Paul, and Paul was pretty good, at least we think, this is what he says about himself. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but that sin that dwelleth in me. And that's literally speaking to the fact that You know, we don't have glorified bodies yet. We still war, our spirit wars against our flesh, and what we want to do and what we need to, who we need to listen to, the Holy Spirit, that battle that is there, Satan would want to take us captive, those thoughts, those different things that come into our life, those temptations, and sin's not our boss anymore. We can listen to the Holy Spirit. When a man asked George Mueller the secret of his service, he answered by saying this: "There was a day when I died, utterly died. Died to George Mueller, his opinions, preferences, tastes, and will. Died to the world, its approval or censure. Died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and friends. And since then, I have studied to show myself approved only to God." An audience of one. God is not bringing us here today for the approval of one another. God's bringing us here to look to God and give glory to God, worship the Father, and edify one another in love. That's our purpose as believers, and really getting the gospel to the world, the dying world around us. But when we're looking to ourself, when we're looking to the tradition of men, when we have an inward focus, we're going to fail of the grace of God. We're going to start obeying the flesh. The third thing that he tells them to beware of is the rudiments of the world. And you might say, what does that mean? The word rudiments has to do with the basic elements or basic principles of a system, and that would be the world system. The Bible uses the word world in a few different ways. Sometimes it talks about the creation of the world. In other ways, it talks about the world as in the world system, as in Satan's way of doing things. And this context here, it's talking about the workings, the basic principles or workings of Satan's worldly system. A preacher said this: "Satan wants to take believers, knowing that he has lost any power over their eternal destiny. He wants to do anything he can to make sure that believers do not experience the fullness of what Christ has purchased for them." And I think that's absolutely true. There are these areas that Paul is talking about usually take believers captive today are very similar. Very similar, though they're nuanced a little bit differently. The false teachings, the basis of these false teachings remain the same. Just as the Colossians were up against the teaching that they needed something more than Christ, we are today too. And I want you to know that this chapter here declares to us anything that adds to the gospel is not the gospel. Anything that adds to Jesus Christ being the only one that can wash us away of our sins is not the gospel. I went to a funeral this week for one of my neighbors across the street. We had given him the gospel several times, and he rejected it several times there. But we had a chance to be able to kind of form a relationship with their family. And so I went to his funeral here just recently on Friday of this week, and it was a Catholic funeral. I had never really been inside the Catholic church here in town, and so being in there was just trying to meet several people, not necessarily blasting that I'm a Baptist pastor or anything like that, not trying to cause trouble. But at the same time, I was very burdened for these people that were going to this Mass thinking that they were on their way to heaven. And it started out with several people as they got into their pews. They would kneel by their pew and do the holy Trinity thing. And then it started out with just several dead readings and repeatings. As they got further into the Mass, the priest declared from the podium there, he said, "I'm glad that this person has received, he's in heaven, he's in his eternal home, because he was washed in the waters of baptism and he received Christ by the Holy Eucharist." If you don't know what the word Eucharist is, it's the taking of communion or the Lord's table, the bread and the body of the Lord. And they believe that that is the actual bread and the actual body and blood of Christ. And when they receive that, they are saved. And so essentially, when you talk to a Catholic especially about receiving Christ, they say, well, yeah, I do. They would say, I do that every Sunday. But these traditions of men, these rudiments of the world, these thinkings, Satan has absolutely put into the Roman Catholic Church to sway people from the true gospel. They think by their doing of being washed in water as a baby and by taking communion every Sunday that they're somehow going to be good enough to work themselves to heaven. Praise God it's not like that. Praise God that it's much simpler than that. And you and I have the greatest message ever. You and I have the greatest story ever told, that Jesus Christ came to earth and that he didn't come for us to be washed as a baby when we don't know anything and to be taking of communion that way, whereas we take it as a remembrance, they take it as salvation. My friends, today, it is much simpler than that. It is much, much simpler than that. Why? Because Jesus is a good friend. We sang about it this morning. Jesus is a good friend. He gave us the simplicity of the gospel, that he died, he was buried, he rose again for our salvation. And his salvation to us is in the form of a gift that we receive. By faith, we receive his gift of eternal life by calling out to him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That says nothing about baptism or taking of communion. It's a call that Jesus Christ always answers. Disciples in Christ, then, they're called to look to Christ alone. And that in him we find all of the treasures of knowledge and wisdom, as we saw there back in verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so we see this deterrent that Paul gives them. Don't follow these things of the world. Don't fall after these things. And the way that you're not going to fall after these things is understanding who you are now. And he talks about in verse 9 of Colossians chapter 2, and he looks at a divine connection. So we find a deterrent against following things other than Christ. In verse 9, we find a divine connection. Look at verse 9 with me. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What does that mean? You are in Christ, and Christ is in you as a believer, and in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is no less God than God the Father or God the Spirit. He's not, and I'm not trying to be trite here, he's not a junior God. He's not anything less than the Father or the Spirit. The fullness of God the Father dwelleth, meaning it permanently resides in him. And that was just the case even as he lived here on earth. He was fully God. These words echo that of chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And by echoing those words, our gaze is redirected back to the Lord Jesus Christ once again, and that we are reminded that Christ, that in him all fullness dwells. And not just that it dwells now that he's in heaven. No, it dwells in him in a glorified body. Just as we will one day have a glorified body, it's not merely a hypothetical statement. It is a literal reality that the fullness of God is in him. From the very moment, even of his birth, he was called what? Emmanuel. God with us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. I know we read this many times during the Christmas season, but I want to read it this morning. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He is one with the Father and one with the Holy Spirit. He is the eternal God. And that means that even as the previous chapter told us, He's the Creator, He's the God who redeemed us, He's the one who reconciled us to Himself. That's your God. He's preeminent, and He lives in you. That's the connection that He and the Father have, and the fact that we are planted in Him, never to be taken out of Him. That's who we are in Christ, and because of that connection, because of our being rooted in Christ, now verse 10 crescendos and says, and ye are what? Complete. Ye are complete in Him. There's a declaration of our new identity in Jesus Christ. Ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. One commentator puts it this way: this can only be true because Jesus is truly God. If He were not God, we wouldn't be complete in Him. Anything that says that we are not complete in Him also takes away from the deity of Jesus. Paul states this as a fact to be enjoyed, not a status to be achieved. You don't have to work in your Christian life or do. That is dead religion. This is a fact. This is who you are today in Jesus Christ. No matter what the world tells you, no matter what your feelings tell you, no matter what has happened in your life that you would think that defines you, that is not who you are in Jesus Christ. You are complete. You are complete in Him because He said it, because He lives within you, because He is declared righteous before the Father, that because when you stand there on that day and you are declared before Him blameless before the Father, it is His righteousness that makes you complete. It's His righteousness that makes you holy before Him. Verse 10 tells us this, that we've been filled with Him and that we are in Him, never to be taken away. Christ, who is in you, has made you complete. He is also the head of all principality and power. Christ, what does that mean? That means Christ has all power over created beings. He has all power over sin, and that power is in each one of us as believers. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What is that saying? What does that verse say in 2 Corinthians 10:5? It's saying that you don't have to be taken captive, as Colossians chapter 2 is. You don't have to be kidnapped by these things that the world would have you to believe that would sway you away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Rather, you can take those thoughts captive and cast them down in obedience to Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there, I'm going to read several verses from that chapter. Two books back. There, Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 19 in just a moment. But here, Paul is talking to these believers at Ephesus about the power that Jesus Christ has above principality and power. And really, I believe Colossians and Ephesians, if you read them side by side, many of these same truths were given to both churches. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power? To usward, who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. What is really the conclusion of the matter this morning? The matter is that Jesus Christ is in you as a believer. He declares you as complete even though you may not feel complete this morning, you could have come in understanding or thinking that my life is falling apart. There's different things in my life that I wish were better. There's different hurts in my life that I want God to heal. No matter what my feelings tell me, no matter what people think about me, no matter how the world would define me or how much I'm worth, the Bible says I am complete in Him. And there's no ands, ifs, or buts about that. Jesus Christ this morning wants you to know that you're complete. He considers you complete. If you're a believer, Ephesians chapter 4 declares that you are righteousness and true holiness. Even on your worst day, God says you are complete in Him. When you get to heaven and you come before His presence, there's not going to be any sin brought up. He said that He separated your sin from you, what? As far as the east is from the west, Psalms declares. And I'm telling you this morning, Jesus Christ wants you to revel in that relationship with Him. Yes, there's things in our lives that will try to kidnap us and tell us that we are worth much less than what Jesus Christ values us. Jesus Christ values every soul. He values everyone as high. And your true identity as a child of God is that you are complete. So I want you to revel in that fact this morning, that God if He's working in your life, if He's showing you some different things that you've believed, I challenge you this morning, would you just give in to Him, give in to His Word this morning, and would you allow it to change your thinking that you are complete in Jesus Christ? Let's pray.